And so from there, it's going to start spreading out. So sometimes I think we build up these pictures in our mind of how it's going to come back. And then when Christ comes back, every unbeliever in America is going to look up and see Christ come back. Well, according to what the Bible says, that's not true. It's not going to be that way. So it's going to be like business going to be as usual. I think it talks about in Christ comes back, it's going to be like business as usual, like in the days of Noah. Right? So anyway, that's exciting, I think. If you consider that we have approximately 6 billion people on earth today and expect 12 billion by the year 2030, and what those who do the estimates say, just imagine the increase during an additional 1,000 years as God extends man's life expectancy similar to the days of Noah. People are so concerned that there's not enough land out there and not enough resources to take care of everybody. They're trying to take care of birth control and all this stuff all over the world. There's going to be so many more billions of people during the 1,000-year reign, and all the money that's spent on military implements and everything, guns and stuff, all that stuff could go to taking care of the nations. And plus God blessing the lands of those people who believe. And see, these people, unbelieving nations around this world, can believe the commandments that Jesus Christ gives out. Now see, it says that there's going to be dignitaries and men from all the world, nations coming over to Jerusalem to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ, and he's going to be teaching them the Word of God. And then they're going to go back, and then they're going to the heads of states or whatever, going back to their nations, and they're going to teach the people. And then some of those people will actually believe, say, yeah, you know, it's like today. Some people believe that Jesus Christ is prophet only, and that the things that he taught are good for our life. And if we do them, we'll be blessed. There will still be people during the millennium that will believe that, I just want to be blessed, so I'll believe what you say, and they'll have a hunky-dory life to that extent of their belief. But they still will not believe that he's their Savior, believe it or not. I mean, can you believe that? A lot of believing going on, right? So there are going to be many people that will believe that he is a wonderful leader, and then they will adhere to what he says. And then there's going to be others that will believe that he is the actual Savior, and they will get born again. But there's going to be both. Because it says by the end of the 1,000 years, there's going to come an uprising of armies against him and try to wipe out Israel one more time. And this is at the end of the 1,000 years, after you have Jesus Christ reigning for 1,000 years. That doesn't even sound... Does that sound ridiculous to you? Me too. Some believe that when Christ returns, he will simply snap his fingers and everything will be perfect. If this were accurate, then Christ could not or would not be ruling with a rod of iron. To establish the kingdom age will require a prolonged period of time. Isaiah indicates that when Christ returns, the whole world will not become aware of his presence immediately, but the world will become knowledgeable through a process of time and efforts of evangelism. When Christ returns at the apex of the Battle of Armageddon to save Israel from complete destruction, some will escape and flee to surrounding nations, like I mentioned before. Contrary to traditional view, everyone in the world will not necessarily see Christ return at that time. I think it even says in Timothy that no man will be able to see the light that Christ now dwells in. He dwells in a light with God that no man can see or will ever see. Not talking about us who are born again, we will see him face to face, but man, physical man on this earth, will not be able to stand before him and see him. When Christ ascended into heaven, not every person on earth saw this event, and so it will be when he returns. Look at Isaiah chapter 66, and in verse 15. And it says in verse 15, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his word will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens, behind the trees, in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. That they'd see his glory. And I will set a sign among them. I will send those that do what? Escape of them from the battle of Armageddon unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard of my fame. You see, if everybody saw him all together collectively, then we would all be aware, all the unbelievers would be aware that he's back, and yay, or whatever. It's not going to be that way. Neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And of course, every nation outside of Israel is a Gentile nation. Even though they're Arab, they are Gentile. After the battle of Armageddon, it will take the citizens of the Bible land 7 months to find and bury all the dead corpses for that one battle. If it was over the entire planet, I think it would take a little longer than 7 months. Do you think that? 7 months in the Bible land area to bury all the dead corpses. This will be such a huge undertaking that they will establish a special labor force called continual employment, is what the Bible says. Continual, need a job? During the 1,000-year reign. It will take 7 years to destroy all the weapons of war and begin to use the material for tools of farming equipment. 7 years. You've already got to jump on things. Look at Ezekiel chapter 39. Ezekiel 39 and verse 8. Behold, it is come and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, and the bows and the arrows and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. So that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith the Lord God. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers. And there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hamengog. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown, the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. Must be a hard day for God that to receive glory in something like that, because he says in his word that he does not even rejoice in the death of the wicked, and yet to be given glory for such a day. And they shall sever out men of continual employment. Go sign up today, John. No. Passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. And the passengers that pass through the land, when any seeth a man's bone, then shall he set up a sign by it till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamengog. And also the name of the city shall be Hamen. Thus shall they cleanse the land. While the Bible land is being cleansed from the aftermath of the battle, many will travel to Jerusalem to hear the word of God. His judgment will begin in a new era of promised abundance to feed a starving world, spiritually and physically, will replace the threat of war and oppression. His government will increase after many years or even centuries that it will take his knowledge to fill the earth. The increase of Jesus Christ's government will be established as the Word of God is taught from Jerusalem, and the saints will spread it across the world in our new glorified bodies. I don't have any place in there where it says that we're going to go out preaching the word. I can't say that that's, I can back that up with scripture. But I can say that when Jesus Christ, after he was resurrected and he had a new body, he was walking on the way to Emmaus, talked to a couple of gentlemen, and they believed him and rejoiced and got excited about the word of God. Just think, we could have many of those Emmaus walkings during that 1,000-year reign, talking to people like that in our new glorified bodies, sharing with them the word of God and Jesus Christ the Savior, who is now abiding in Jerusalem and governing and ruling with a rod of iron. Some will believe, and guess what? Some won't. Man, we will expound the scriptures during the millennium reign, just like Jesus Christ did on the way to Emmaus with his new body. Look at Isaiah chapter 2 and in verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Somehow or another, I believe that he will work through David on his throne. He was a ruthless dude. He knew how to judge. I think he could carry out a little bit of Jesus Christ rule with a rod of iron. Don't you? Mm-hmm. In Isaiah 11, verse 3, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Let's regress back prior to the Battle of Armageddon, just to set the stage of what prophecy says will happen toward the end of this age. In Daniel 11, and in verse 40, at the time of the end of the age, shall the king of the south, modern-day Egypt, push at him, talking about the kingdom of the north, which is in Syria-Iraq area. According to the World News source of May 20th, 2001, Egypt called for the Arab nations to discontinue all trade relations with Israel. This is any indication that prophecy is moving forward. Then it possibly could be. I don't know. We'll find out, I guess, when it all comes to pass. But it does look like there's a lot going on. It is obvious by the daily news sources that the Palestinians are determined to carry out their desires along with the other Arab nations to annihilate Israel. With this happening before our very eyes, it seems that many professing Christians are becoming more concerned about, talkative about, wanting to know more about end-time events. The sad part is that there's a lot of different opinions out there regarding many of these things. And when you don't have the truth of God's Word to go to and just see what the Word says, then it can be very unsettling. It can also cause fear, doubt, worry, unbelief. And for the things that we are studying here and being able to give people some peace and comfort and hope of the Scriptures, it can eliminate a lot of those unnecessary fears. I knew that when I grew up as a child, my grandmother was a Pentecostal. Only 4 foot tall, never cut her hair in her entire life, and when she tuck it out of the bun at night, it drug the ground. And she always said, don't have any kids when you grow up. They'll walk on your feet when they're young, and they'll walk on your heart when they're old. She had 17 kids. But anyway, when you walked in our house, man, you heard about Jesus Christ. All the way through the door. You coming through that door, you heard about Jesus Christ when you went out that back door. That's all she talked about. And she talked about the end times, and she talked about how it's going to be. And a lot of it, I'm here to tell you today, was not quite true. I mean, it's what she was taught, and it scared me, and it kept me scared for many, many, many years. Almost like a child being in the room going to sleep thinking that there's a boogeyman in the closet. And even when the parents come in and search the closet under the bed and trying to assure them that there is no boogeyman, the child reluctantly fell asleep, probably after just being too tired. But even that way, in relation to what's going on today, many people, no matter how much comfort they get from our government, they still have those fears and uncertainty. And the only certainty that they can truly have is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that He and our Heavenly Father will sustain us through all of it, no matter how bad it gets or how close it hits to our back door or the buildings or our workplaces or whatever. It's still God is our sufficiency, and that we have to look to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's take a break for lunch.